Lord Jesus, we turn our hearts to you.
Amen.
We do say, we do confess, we need you.
Amen.
We need to hear you.
Amen.
Oh, do anoint my ears.
Amen.
Do anoint my mouth.
Amen.
And anoint the ears of all the saints.
Amen.
Lord, we need your speaking today.
Amen.
Oh, that you would shine over us.
Amen.
Lord, that we could see what is the meaning of these verses in Ezekiel.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, make us see and hear what you want us to see and hear. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, we have come to a portion. You know, the title was so long, we didn't put the title in the morning watch. But the title is pretty amazing. The highest point in our spiritual experience, having a clear sky with a throne above it.
Amen.
When you read that, you wonder, my goodness, the highest point? Well, since we will be speaking about the highest point, I hope none of us will feel that we have arrived to the highest point, but rather all of us would desire more.
Amen.
In our spiritual experience.
Amen.
So we shouldn't be satisfied or contented with our own spiritual experience.
Amen. Amen.
How many of us feel that we have arrived at the highest point of our spiritual experience? I must confess, must be very few. Certainly not me. So we need to consider, what is the highest experience of our spiritual experience? You know, in Philippians 3:10, Paul had a longing, a great desire, and he spelled it out, to know him.
Amen.
We need to know him.
Amen.
This is part of our spiritual experience. And then in Philippians 3:12, let's read this verse together. Now, so here, Paul had a realization. And what was this realization? That God, the Lord Jesus, had laid hold of him. That's what it says at the end of the verse. I also have been laid hold of by Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And he wanted to lay hold of that for which I also have been laid hold. I don't know, we see clearly what this means. Christ Jesus had laid hold of Paul. And Paul wanted to lay hold of Christ himself.
Amen.
So, we see here Paul's desire concerning his spiritual experience. So then, we see that there was a mutual possession. The Lord Jesus is possessing him, and Paul wants to possess the Lord. Then let's go to verse 14. Let's read this verse together.
I pursue, for the Lord, for
You know, one of the wonderful gifts from the Lord we have is the recovery version. Before we had the recovery version, way back in the 70s, there was a conference in Boston, and Brother Lee was there. And Brother Lee was struggling with this verse. In this verse in the King James Version, it says, I press on. But the Lord Jesus realized that is not quite enough. You know, I, not having the recovery version, I was wondering, we're in the midst of a conference, we have a lot of things to cover. Why are we spending more than a half hour on one word? That's the way that Brother Lee studied the word. And so after a long time, he came up with the word we have now, I pursue. Paul pursued negatively the Lord Jesus. After he met him on the way to Damascus, he pursued the Lord in a positive way. And that's what we need to do. Not just, oh, well, I hope I understand him a little better. I hope I can spend more time. Never mind, let's pursue him. That we could have the proper spiritual experience. So, Paul's goal was the fullest enjoyment of the Lord. He wasn't happy with a little enjoyment. He wanted much enjoyment. So he realized that this is what he needed. And that's why he was pressing towards the goal for the prize. And the goal, of course, is Christ Jesus. And the prize, of course, would be the kingdom. So may we be those who press on, that we could be in the millennial kingdom. So we should not be satisfied with our spiritual experience. We need more. We need to arrive at the highest point. The highest point of our spiritual experience. So this brings us to Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 22. Let's read it together. Over the heads of the creatures. So here we see that over the heads of the living creatures, there was the likeness of an expanse like the sight of awesome crystal stretched forth over their heads above. You might say, well, what's the big deal? Just an expanse, a sky, like the sight of awesome crystal. The point is, this sky was crystal clear. No clouds, nothing between the living creatures and the Lord on the throne. So that is why this verse is so important. And that's why we'll spend most of the time trying to explain this verse. So here we see such an important point. that there was nothing between. Nothing between. How wonderful. The living creatures could have a thorough fellowship with the Lord on the throne. If you read the previous verses, you would realize these living creatures were pretty special. They were running around like a thunderbolt. They were like torches. They had fire. They had wings, not only to walk but to soar. And yet, we will see later, they heard a voice and they stopped. We need to be like that. When we hear the voice of the Lord, we'll stop. But I don't want to go ahead of myself. So, for God to have his expression, his move, administration, we need to hear what he has to say to us, like his speaking to the living creatures. We need to pray for this. You know, in this world today, we hear a lot of voices. We hear a lot of things. Demonstrations. All kinds of things on the TV and the radio. We could perhaps not hear the voice of the Lord. I enjoyed the verses we have this week in 1 Kings that tell us, right, there was fire, there was earthquake, a lot of noise, and then a still small voice. The voice of the Lord is a still small voice. So we need to realize if we're listening to all the other voices, we won't hear the still small voice. So then, the way that God rules, reigns, and administrates on the earth is the way he brings in his kingdom, by our having a clear sky with a throne above it. So God can have full fellowship with us. And we will see what are the things that prevent us from having a clear sky. Now we want to talk a little bit about fellowship. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. Let's read this verse together. Which we have seen and heard. With us.
And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ.
Here we have the word seen and heard. The word seen and heard tells us that the Apostle John had seen and heard the Lord Jesus. But now he wanted to share this with the believers. For what purpose? In order to have fellowship. And this fellowship is of two kinds. Horizontal fellowship among us and vertical fellowship with the Lord. And it is quite interesting that these two are related, intertwined. If you are not able to have fellowship with your brothers and sisters, it would be very hard to have fellowship with the Lord.
Amen.
Likewise, if you cannot have fellowship with the Lord, it will be hard to have fellowship with the brothers and sisters.
Amen.
So we need to realize Although these are two aspects of fellowship, the divine fellowship is intertwined between the horizontal and the vertical aspect. Let's read verses 6 and 7 together.
If we say we have fellowship with him, walk in darkness.
Cleanses us from every sin. So here we have the fellowship. The fellowship of the divine life is actually the fellowship of the body of Christ. If we don't have the fellowship of the divine life, we don't have the body of Christ in reality. So this is very important. Actually, it's the fellowship of the divine life. You may say, well, how do we go about this? Well, we can use the example of the lights here in the meeting hall. They light because the electricity connects them. Likewise, when we are living in the divine life, we can have the fellowship just like the lights in the meeting hall. And we can have the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, as mentioned in 2 Corinthians 13:14. This is the vertical aspect of fellowship by the living Spirit, the life-giving Spirit, the divine Spirit. It is in this fellowship that we partake of everything the Father and the Son are, as well as everything that they have accomplished for us. So, but we also need to enter into the horizontal aspect of fellowship between us, and that is by our human spirit. So if we are not in our human spirit, there is no fellowship at all. So we need to realize that. We need to remember that we need to exercise our spirit. And the way to exercise our spirit when we're in the flesh or in the soul or in the mind is to call on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So this is the divine fellowship between one another and with the Lord. If we lack the proper fellowship with the Lord, as I mentioned, it's hard to have the fellowship among believers. So this brings us to 1 Corinthians 1:9. Let's read this verse together. God is faithful.
And
Christ our Lord. It's so good to hear and to know that God is faithful.
Amen.
You know, when the roof caves in, when we're sick, when all kinds of things happen, it's so good to know that God is faithful.
Amen.
But we need to realize God is faithful not according to our human understanding.
Amen.
God is not faithful to give us a mansion, nor is he faithful to give us an expensive car or a job that pays a high salary. But he is faithful to encourage us, to strengthen us, to call us to the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we need to realize God is faithful to his economy, which is to infuse himself into us.
Amen.
But he may not be faithful to what we would like or what we would want. So we need to be clear about that. So God is really faithful to what? To take away our idols, as well as to call us into the fellowship of his Son.
Amen.
Then we need to see what needs to be done so that we could have an open sky.
Amen.
So let's go to Acts 24:16. This was Paul's testimony before Agrippa. Let's read it together. Because of this, I also exercise myself. Verse 15 tells us that Paul believed there is a resurrection, not just a regular resurrection, but verse 15 says a resurrection of both the righteous and the unrighteous. Then it says in verse 16, because of this, I also exercised myself to sometimes have, no, to always, always have a conscience without offense toward God and men. Actually, our conscience is related to our sky. To have a clear sky, we must have a conscience without offense toward God and toward man. But a little more than that, let's go to 1 Timothy 3:9, also speaks about the conscience. Let's read it together. Holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Ah, not just a good conscience, but a pure conscience. What's the difference? A good conscience is ruled by good and evil, righteous and unrighteous. But that is the wrong tree. The tree of good and evil. But in this verse, a pure conscience means a conscience that is sensitive to life and death. Are we in life or are we in death? We need to be in life in order to have a pure conscience so that God can have his increase with us to fulfill his economy.
Amen.
So then, that brings us to Ezekiel 1:25. Let's read it together. And there was a voice from above the expanse that was over their heads. When they stood still, they dropped their wings. We say that verse 22 is a crucial verse, right? Because it speaks of the highest point of our experience, spiritual experience. But this verse is also important. You may wonder, it says about a voice, and it says that the living creatures stood still and dropped their wings. What's the big deal? Well, the point is, when God spoke, the living creatures, which were like a thunderbolt running around, stopped and listened to the voice. This is my burden, that we need to stop and listen to the voice of the Lord. So this indicates that the living creatures not only knew how to speak, not only knew how to move around, they also knew how to hear God's voice. This is the most important verse after verse 25. Then we need to see a little more concerning our time with the Lord. So first of all, we'll go to Exodus 21, verses 5 and 6. Let's read these verses together. A servant says, I love my master, my wife, and my children. I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring the horse, and shall his ear through the horn, and he shall serve him forever. This is really a picture of the Lord Jesus when he was on earth. He was really a slave of the Father, and he always did the Father's will, and he always heard the Father's voice. But, by extension, this also should apply to us. This is the first ordinance of the law concerning man's relationship with others. A slave, someone who had been bought to serve, after 6 years was able to go free on the seventh year. But, as it says here in verse 5, if the servant plainly says, I love my master, my wife, my children, I will not go out free, he could stay serving. And this time he serves forever. This is also a picture of the Lord Jesus. He loved his master, the Father. He loved his future wife, the church, and all the children in the church. So, but this also should apply to us in what way? In the way of verse 6. His master shall bring him to God, and shall bring him to the door or to the doorpost. A slave was supposed to stand at the doorpost waiting for the master's orders. This is what the Lord Jesus did every day of his life. And we also need to be ready to hear what the Lord our master says. But that's not all. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl. So the issue here is hearing. It's possible I may have been touched by the matter of hearing because I have hearing aids. But so crucial to hear the word of the master. This is the way the Lord Jesus lived. Because if we have a clear expanse, a clear sky above the Lord in the throne, and yet we don't hear him, what good is it? Beautiful picture, but no reality. So we need to hear the Lord when He speaks to us. Then the clear expanse makes sense. This is what we need to realize. We have the requirement concerning our conscience, and now the requirement concerning our hearing. The ear of a slave was to be opened so that he could serve his master forever. May our ears be opened. And there's two portions in the Old Testament which speak particularly prophetically of Christ as a slave. Mentions, these two portions mention the Lord's ear. I didn't put it in the list, but Psalm chapter 40, verse 6, this says what the Lord said to the Father. You do not delight in sacrifice and offering. You have prepared ears for me. So here we see what God desires, that we would have ears for Him, so that we could hear Him. Then He would open to the Father. God opened the ears of the Lord Jesus that He could do God's will, the Father's will. The other portion is Isaiah 40, verses 4 and 5. Let's read these verses together.
The Lord Jehovah has given me the tongue of the instructed, that I should know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning, He awakens my ear to hear as an instructed one. The Lord Jehovah has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did turn back.
Here we see two things. The tongue of the instructed and to hear as an instructed one. We need to hear the Lord so we can speak for the Lord. So we should be instructed by the Lord so we can speak for Him, that we might hear as the learned one. So first we must be taught, then we can be those who speak. Then from here we go to Moses, Exodus 34, verse 3. I picked up the wrong book. Exodus 34, verse 3. All together. And no one shall come up with you, nor let anyone be seen anywhere on the mountain, nor let the flocks and herds graze in front of that mountain. So this speaks of morning watch. At morning watch, we should come alone to the Lord, have a private time with the Lord. Not only that, but our time has to be personal, intimate, loving, not just any old time. So when we come to the Lord alone, that is the time for us to pray to Him. Now the question is, when we have morning watch and we pray, read a verse, and we pray to the Lord, we pray for the meetings coming up, we pray for God's move, etc., etc., do we give the Lord a chance to speak to us? I must say that the Lord is really touching me with this, because up to now, I haven't given much time for the Lord to speak to us.
to me. So what he has done is he has awakened me in the middle of the night several times to tell me what he wants to tell me. But that is to my shame. Somehow, somewhere, we should have a time where the Lord can speak to us, where he can tell us what he wants us to do. So here we see again the Lord Jesus in his human living, and we must become his duplication. But here, Moses, this is a very particular occasion. If you recall, Moses spent 40 days in the mountain, and the Lord gave him, the Lord wrote with his own finger, it says, the Ten Commandments in two tablets. But when Moses came down, the people of Israel had made a golden calf and worshipped it. So then Moses broke the tablets and had to deal with this rebellion. But after he dealt with everything, then is the time we have in verse 34. It's a very interesting chapter 34, sorry. It's a very interesting chapter because you would think that the Lord would speak to Moses about the commandments, write the commandments in the tablets that he told Moses to prepare. But the whole chapter is talking about the feast to enjoy the Lord. Not the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments come at the end. But the point here is that only in verse, actually Moses only spoke one verse in this chapter. In verse 9, he spoke and he told the Lord that he wanted the Lord to go among them after this big rebellion. But then the Lord spoke the rest of the 40 days that Moses again was in the mountain. So we see that maybe in our time with the Lord, we shouldn't speak too much. But we should try and let him speak to us. But what was the result? After the Lord spoke to Moses and told him all about the feast to enjoy him, what happened? We better read verse 29. Let's read this verse together. When Moses came down Mount Sinai and the two tablets of testimony were in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone a reason of his speaking with him. As God was speaking with Moses, actually Moses' face was shining. Our faces could be shining if we spend time with the Lord speaking to us. So this is quite precious. If we read all of chapter 34, we shall see that God infused Moses, and his infusion was made by his speaking to Moses. The more we talk, the more we may hinder the Lord's infusing of us, but the more he speaks to us, the more he will infuse us. A clear and open heaven, speaking of the Lord and listening to the Lord are all matters of fellowship. Then now we go back to Ezekiel
chapter 1, verse 26. Let's read this verse together. So here we see that the issue of the clear expanse is to have a throne with a man, one who in appearance is like a man, above it. I won't say more because this will be the message for next week. But the fact is that the Lord Jesus cannot be separated from the throne. So that's why we could have a problem. If we don't obey the Lord, then the Lord disappears when he tells us to do something, or when he exposes us, or when he does something concerning us. How crucial that we listen to him who is on the throne. And you might say, well, he's on the throne in heaven, I'm on earth, so big deal. Well, we need to realize what is the real situation. So let's turn to Hebrews 4:16. Hebrews 4:16. This is the last verse. Let's read it together. Let us therefore come forward with boldness, throne of grace. Going back to the previous verse, actually the Lord Jesus is in us. Actually, Ephesians 2:22 tells us that in our spirit is God's home, God's abode. So if the Lord is in our spirit, the throne is not in the third heavens. The throne happens to be in our spirit. So when we're in spirit, we not only touch the Lord, we also touch the throne. And here in Hebrews 4:16, we're to come forward with boldness to the throne of grace. Where is this throne of grace? This throne of grace is in the Holy of Holies in the heavens. How do we get there? We get there by our human spirit. If we're in spirit, we can be in the heavens, experiencing the Lord, hearing the Lord. That's why Paul in Hebrews encourages to come forward. Not only to come forward, to come forward with boldness. This is absolutely a matter of our spirit. If we're soulish, we will not experience coming to the throne of grace. So we need to be in spirit. And then this throne, of course, is the throne of God's administration of the whole universe. But to us, it's the throne of grace. And in chapter 10, it tells us that we need to come to the throne of grace to receive mercy and grace for timely help. So we need to have a clear sky. The throne is present, and then we experience the Lord. So, Those two verses, verse 22 and 25, are the most important verses. I will stop here and we need to sing a hymn. Oh, I always forget something. Yeah, I'm sorry. Let's sing hymn 372, and as we sing, we will go to the language meetings.